So a little backstory to today's story. So Jesus and the disciples last week have just experienced this miraculous feeding of well over 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And there have been, since that time, a few healings, as well as a lively debate with the Pharisees and the scribes about this new way of living and worshiping God. And also Peter has declared Jesus to be the Son of the living God, to which then Jesus has said, "Peter, you are the rock of my church." So while these words are still kind of ringing in the air, Jesus tells them again that he must go to Jerusalem, be handed over, tortured, killed, and then raise up on the third day. And this rock of the church that he's just proclaimed as rock, Peter says, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." They're in the weeds of discipleship, folks. They're learning, they're discovering what it means to follow Jesus for themselves. They are in the valley of the shadow of death, and they are afraid. They're up to their necks in what Jesus keeps telling them is going to happen to him and how they must live their lives in following him. So they've got to be thinking, there's got to be another way, right? There's got to be a plan B. Isn't there another way that this could happen? Because losing your life to find it, taking up your cross. So they have 6 days to really ponder this before Peter, James, and John head up out of the valley with Jesus, the chosen ones, onto the mountain. And then it seems like the other way reveals itself. That plan B, a different way, is revealed in blazing light on top of this mountain. Two other prophets appear alongside Jesus. Jesus' face is lit up. Well, this certainly must be the answer. This is the new way. He doesn't have to die. It's this. This is what's going to happen. God has revealed another way. None of this take up your cross stuff. Let's stay here. Let's stay here on the mountaintop ablaze in all this light. It's good for us to be here, says Peter. Oh, I love Peter. It's good for us to be here. I will make 3 dwelling places. He's right. This is plan B. I got it. We're gonna build dwelling places. And just as his plan is taking shape, as he's unrolling the blueprints for what's going to happen, God interrupts everything and the place explodes in light. And God says, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then he says, "Listen to him." But it's good for us to be here. I can just hear Peter saying, "But it's good for us to be here, because if we listen to Jesus, then we got to go back down the mountain and pick up our crosses. And then what? Die? Yeah. Now the symbol of the cross has lost its punch for us. Because for Jesus to say this to his disciples then would have been terrifying. Crucifixion was common, and it was used as a witness. It was used to send a message to common criminals, to enemies of the state. Remain loyal or suffer this fate. And these crosses, they weren't all that tall, and they weren't on a hill far away. They were like lining the roadsides, like billboards, and were close enough where you could, you know, hear and see and smell what was happening to these people. You want us to take up our crosses. Really? This is the way of Jesus? Is death? What does it mean to deny yourself and to take up your cross? If I could reference the show that we've spent our whole season of Epiphany kind of ping-ponging around a little bit. It's a 22-minute silly little sitcom on NBC. Yet over and over in the show, this is why I love this show, is these silly little characters make huge sacrifices for each other. They change. In the afterlife, is the premise, they change. And each time one of the characters changes, it's usually at great personal sacrifice and risk for the sake of their friends. Now, without going into spoiler territory, the season finale of season 3, so the guy in the lower right-hand corner there, Chidi decides that for the sake of his friends, he will give up knowledge of his friends so that then they can be saved from going to the bad place. That's all I'll tell you. And they try and talk him out of it because it's going to be painful for him. It's going to be painful for them. It's a huge sacrifice. These fictional characters on this silly little sitcom deny themselves for the sake of their friends, so that their suffering friends might not suffer anymore. So I wonder, when have you taken on a little extra suffering so that someone else wouldn't suffer? Whatever small or big way that might look in your life. When have you had to die a little bit to bring life to a situation? When have you had to change in a small way or a big way, so that it brings life to a situation? Have you had to die to the idea that your life has to be perfect and has to look perfect to everybody else, digitally or otherwise? Do you have to let die that relationship or that grudge, that job? Is it time to let die your ideas for somebody else's life and thinking? Is it time to let die your own harsh inner monologue of self-critique? Is it time to let die your judgmental spirit? Is it time to let die your terrible spending habits? Is it time to let die, fill in the blank. It's so hard to let go of stuff, isn't it? Now we need both. We need the valley and the mountaintop, both. We need to experience stuff that's hard to explain. Like, how do you explain what happened on that mountaintop in the first place, right? We need those awe-inspiring moments where we just think, well, that had to be God. Because why else? Right? We need those experiences that are so mysterious and so grand that they certainly must be of God. We need those so that we can be reminded when we are in the valley of the shadow of death that God is with us there too. When we swear we can't see that God would ever be there with us, that God is. You see, Jesus is looking at his disciples full in the face, and he's telling them over and over again, I gotta suffer. There's gonna be terrible things that happen to me, but it's not the end. There will be resurrection. But they can't get to that part, right? That's too up on the mountaintop. We get stuck in that suffering. But he's telling that just the Son of God is saying, I will not snap my fingers to get out of this. I will not use my divine powers to get out of this. I instead will enter into it as the Son of God, into this suffering. That God will light us up on the mountaintop, and that God will weep with us in our deepest, darkest valleys. That is the Jesus now that we follow into these days of Lent. And this changes us in small and large ways. And we are forever changed by it. It's pretty good news, isn't it? It's the best news you've ever heard. And we say together, thanks be to God. Amen.